Here tonight in the Word of God, we're going to see what the Word of God has to say to us, both Christian and non-Christian, regarding the peril of postponement. Paul, the great apostle, he was before Felix. Felix made a great statement, which has been a statement made by many people down through the ages. I will hear more of what you have to say when I have a convenient season or a convenient time. There's some very interesting things about Felix, just for history purposes. Drusilla, who is his wife at this point of time in history, is his third wife, and she is the daughter of King Agrippa. And those of you who like to understand and study the Bible regarding women and the history of women and the culture in which they find themselves, she was married, first of all, at the age of 15. That marriage didn't work out, and she married Felix, and she'd been previously married to another fellow. But she now becomes the third wife to Felix, and she's the daughter of King Agrippa. She had a son, by the way. His name was Agrippa, but he died at a very early age. Felix was governor of Judea and Samaria for about 6 years, and whilst he was there, he heard a lot about the Christian message and the Christian way. Christianity in those times was called the way. So tonight we're going to look at the peril of postponement. But I wonder how many times all of us have found it very convenient to postpone a decision, one that's been rather difficult to make. We've said, look, we don't really want to make that decision right now. We don't want to become committed to this or to that, so we've put it off. And many of us don't want to make commitments or decisions when we have to face the most disagreeable duties of life. But many times, we have to admit that the postponement allows us another chance. But there are occasions when we are not allowed another chance. You know, we used to say, and I think it's still said, that opportunity only knocks once. Well, sometimes opportunity knocks more than once. But there are times when opportunity does not knock again. Now, as we look at the situation around us today, in the nation, and you've been reminded during the crusade of some of the things that have been going on within the nation and within the corruptness of families, and the great message upon the evangelist's heart has been to bring nations and families together. And there's been some wonderful stories come out of that Monday night, men's night, I can assure you. You heard of two tonight. But there are many others that have come out of Monday night, as well as other meetings that have been held. And when all of the evaluation is done and the referrals are all looked at and the situation regarding the people that made commitments and recommitments, and we know for a fact that on Tuesday it was stated by several men that they went home after Monday night and became a new husband to their wife and a new father to their children. And we thank God for that. But I want to confront you tonight with this great truth from the Bible. This truth of the peril of postponement. And I want to draw your attention that the peril of postponement not only affects us individually, not only as families, but it can also bring a church, a society, a community into absolute ruin. And the very reason why that happens is because all too often we fail to face the truth. All too often we fail to be honest with ourselves and with one another. And I want to tell you, until we as individuals and as families, as a church, as a community, as a society, as a nation, until we root out of our lives, out of our families, out of our homes, out of our society, out of our churches, that evil will destroy us. Because there are many today who are interested in the occult. There are many today who are curious as to what the fascination of the occult holds. And the reason why they're in the grip of the occult is because we fail to tell them about the truth in Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot of fighting that goes on within families. There's a lot of fighting that go on within communities and indeed in the churches because of the peril of postponement. And I want to tell you tonight that Satan is a very subtle enemy. And I'm about ready to prepare the messages for you I've decided that first of all, I'll do a series on the fallen angels, which will take me about 6 weeks, and I want to teach you the demonology connected with the angel world. And after that, I'm going to do 14 messages on the seduction of Christianity, a very real issue. And the reason why it is an issue today is because of the peril of postponement. But let us now turn our attention tonight to what really happens when a person follows this policy in her or his personal relationship with God. You see, the great question of salvation is getting right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest question that we have to answer. Am I right with God? Have I a real relationship with Him through Jesus Christ? Do I know that if I died at this moment that I would go to heaven? Am I sure of eternal salvation? And I think you and I have to answer that individually. I'm not talking tonight about religion. There are too many religious people in the world. I'm talking tonight about Christianity. I'm talking about the fact that we are sinners and our basic need is salvation from sin. But why do so many people go on continually postponing this commitment to Jesus Christ, this decision, until it becomes the peril of postponement? Now, I want to say a few things personally tonight that might help clarify this, and I say them with no reflection of being across the border, and I have no reflection on anything that happens in this state. But one thing I have noticed is that in New South Wales, for example, a car has to go to the garage every year to get what they call a roadworthy certificate. And if that car has a defect, that car is not allowed to go back on the road until the defects are corrected. But I'm horrified as I see vehicles drive around up here that have many defects. I look at some of the vehicles that have a lot of rust in them, and I just wonder how they're still on the road and how they still hang together. And I'm sure that some of the people that own them are in difficult financial situations, and I'm sure that there are things on those vehicles that need to be corrected, but they are postponed until there are tragic accidents that draw our attention to the fact that they have become accidents as the result of postponement. Now, I'm not just singling Queensland out for that reason, but I'm just drawing an illustration before your eyes to show you that the tragic result is usually the end result of postponement. So why is it that so many people tonight are postponing their commitment to Jesus Christ? In one way or another, many people are constantly saying, not just now, in a little while. In a little while I may become a Christian. In a little while I may commit my life to Jesus Christ. But you do not know the hour or the second that you're going to die, neither do I. I mean, you can be gone just like that. But it seems to be very natural for men and women and young people today to postpone the most disagreeable things in life. But why do they postpone the salvation of their immortal soul? Well, I believe that they commit a twofold blunder. One is that they rob themselves of living with Jesus Christ here in time, and they persist in their folly, and they eventually discover that they will live forever in eternity without Jesus Christ. Salvation taught by the Bible is both temporal and eternal. You see, a man or a woman or a young person who now believes in Christ lives with Him now and will live with Him when they physically die. And I cannot think of anything more terrible than to spend all of eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't think of anything more terrible also than to spend time here on this earth without Him. But why do so many people keep putting Jesus Christ off? Is it because they think that they are better than Jesus Christ? Is it because they think that their man-made philosophy, their great age of technology, is far better than Him? I think it's fair to say that most people, not all people, but most people are on time for work, or they're on time for a business appointment. If you had an invitation to meet the Queen, if you had an invitation to meet her at 10 a.m. in the morning at Parliament House, you would be there. But when we have a gilt-edged invitation to meet Jesus Christ, we are not so concerned as whether we keep that appointment or not. And I wonder why. Because we have this inbuilt thing that says, I'll postpone it, it doesn't really matter. So why is it that when God calls men and women and young people to faith in Jesus Christ, that they think they can keep God waiting indefinitely? In other words, what humanity really says in the peril of postponement to God is this, look, God, just give me a little bit more time. You know, I'm not quite ready. A bit like Bill Cosby and that one on Noah, you know, young people. He starts to complain, and God's voice comes back and says, how long can you tread water? I love that. In other words, God says, Noah, you get on with the job. I'm telling you what to do. And God is telling us through the Bible today that we need to have a right relationship with Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are saying now, look, God, just hang on. Hang on. And we enter into the peril of postponement. So is it any wonder that God's patience is not quickly exhausted? And is it any wonder that He actually bothers to call us again and again and again and again? You see, as I sat with that man this week, who's just been released from prison, he was telling me that all through his young life, as he grew up in a Christian home, all through his life as a teenager and as a young man, he can remember vividly now that God was speaking to him, but he kept saying, no, 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 not now. Until he went to jail many times, and through a lot of prayers, and through the prayers of his own parents, and through the faithfulness of a chaplain to the jail, he was led to faith in Jesus Christ. And he sat here in this church with me the other day, and he wept, and he said, Ron, I kept saying no. He said, until I came to realize in jail that God wanted me to say yes. And as he sat, and I cried with him, I don't mind telling you, I cried with him. I didn't tell him my background. I didn't even tell him where I'd been. He rang me the next day after Monday night. He heard where I'd been. But I sat in this church and I cried with him. Because I know for many years, 29 of them as a matter of fact, I too said no. No. I wonder how many years you have been saying no. But I wonder as a Christian, how many years have you been really saying no to God when He's spoken to your heart about serving Him faithfully full time, whatever that may be. My wife and I have some lovely devotional readings every day with Jesus by Selwyn Hughes. You know, there's a story in it today about Abraham. And he was leaving Ur, and it's a story told by a great theologian, and the story goes something like this. And the neighbors were watching Abraham, and they said, Abraham, where are you going? He said, I don't know. And he was getting the camels all harnessed up and everything, and he was putting all of his belongings into the saddle packs and so forth, etc. And they said, but Abraham, where are you going? He said, I don't know, but he said, God said to go. He said, God said to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, I'm going. And his neighbors looked at one another, and they said, poor old Abraham, he's not really all there, you know. Something's missing. And you see, the studies in the devotional reading all this week have been talking about ambiguity and uncertainty. But the story goes on to say that Abraham saddled all of his camel train, and away he went. He went because God said, go. And he went in obedience. For Abraham, there was no peril of postponement. And right at this very moment tonight, God may be saying to some of you young people, I want you to train for the Christian ministry. I want you to train to be an evangelist. I want you to train to be a pastor of a church. I want you to go to college and learn the Word of God. I want you to give up everything for me. I want you to go. And yet the peril of postponement with inside of you right at this moment is saying, no, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. And so tonight, as we're looking at the Word of God, we're seeing an outstanding case of the tragedy that results from this policy of postponement. And we find it here in Acts 24. It's the case of Felix. He's the Roman governor. And Paul is before him, and Paul is a prisoner. But Paul used the opportunity to preach the gospel. And there's no doubt about it, from the Word of God, the governor was greatly impressed. I want to encourage you tonight to use every opportunity to preach the gospel. Paul, bless your soul for talking to that fellow at work. Thanks for taking him. Michael, thanks for talking to that dad on the Sunday night here after the service. You know, you're so gracious, I'll tell the folks what happened. Michael invited the father of these two lads who come to Boys Brigade to go to the rally on the Monday night, and the father accepted. He accepted. He said, yes, he said, I will go. He went that night and came to Christ. Take every opportunity to present the gospel. You don't have to be a great theologian. Just tell them about Jesus, and it'll be news to them. I think I've told you the story about the man that preached today. I was ordained, John Haggier. Yes, dear John, in a very big church with professors of the seminary and everything, and the dear old lady sensed that he was nervous and he was the new pastor. She got him aside and she said, Pastor, she said, I can see that you're nervous. She said, I can see that you're concerned about these theological professors from the seminary. But she said, just tell them about Jesus and it'll be news to them all. And that's all you got to do, is tell people about the Lord. My wife mentioned during this week that when I first got saved, I'd be a little late home, and she used to be a little concerned that the devil might have got me back on the ground. You see, when I got saved, I told the world about Christ, and I'll go on telling the world about Christ. And Paul was before Felix the governor, and he was telling Felix about the Lord. He used the opportunity to preach the gospel. But Felix, like all others, even though he underwent some spiritual disturbance when he was confronted with the claims of Christ, and most people do in an invitation hymn, they wriggle from one foot to the other, and, you know, they don't know just where to go. I know how that feels. I've been there. But we are told in the Bible that Paul reasoned with Felix, and Felix trembled. And you know, that's the right way for him to react, and indeed for everyone to react who is outside of Jesus Christ. Because men and women should always tremble when they come face to face with their sins, and when they realize that God will not allow them to go unpunished. Sin has to be paid for. And our Lord Jesus Christ paid for the sins of humanity on the cross. God gave his only begotten Son to bear the punishment for sinners, rather than to excuse them. But if people go on and refuse the substitute, namely Christ, they must understand that they themselves will bear the punishment in what the Bible calls hell. Felix, I believe, understood that point of the gospel very well. He didn't give any wrong answer. Instead of believing the gospel and putting his trust in the Savior, he said to Paul, he said, look, Paul, he said, you go your way just for this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for you and we'll talk again. But evidently, from the Bible, he never found another convenient season to talk or listen to the gospel, because he's not numbered amongst the converts in the early church. But the Bible does say that whilst Paul was a prisoner, he constantly communicated the gospel with Felix. But Felix was not trying to find the way of salvation. And this is what I want you to listen to. This is the main principle of the Bible. And this is what we're really, really talking about tonight. This is the main principle. Felix was not trying to find the way of salvation. He had an ulterior motive for those interviews with Paul. And those ulterior motives are described in these words in the Bible. He hoped also that money should have been given to him by Paul, so that he might loose Paul from prison. But even with his ulterior motive, the gospel made Felix tremble. But there was something else he wanted, which was more important to him than the gospel. So Felix thought he could postpone his decision until he got what he wanted, namely, the mighty dollar. But he never ever got it. If you understand the history, you know that he was removed from office. He was taken back before the emperor, and he had to give an account of all of the skullduggery that he was involved in. But when I look at Felix, I see something else about him. I see that he was an opportunist, but he lost the greatest opportunity of his life. He not only postponed the salvation of his soul until it was too late, but he even tried to make his postponement profitable. And there are many people like that. He didn't say no to the gospel, but he didn't say yes to the gospel. He didn't turn his back on the gospel. He was interested in it, but it was never convenient for him to believe the gospel. It was never convenient for him to be saved. It was never convenient for him to answer the call of God. It was never convenient for him to put his trust in the crucified and risen Lord for time and eternity. It was never convenient for him to make sure that he would go to heaven instead of hell. No wonder our Lord Jesus Christ, when here on earth and in his teaching, was so insistent that men should not delay when he calls them to follow him. There are many stories in the Bible, but let me just tell you one or two. And when our Lord was telling them, that he told them very vividly. He said on one occasion to a man, he said, "Follow me." And the man replied and said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first of all go and bid them farewell which are at my home." Now, that request certainly seemed like a legitimate reason for delay. "Lord, just let me go back and just say farewell to the family." But in actual fact, when you understand the biblical and the history that is behind that exegesis, this man actually was making a statement that was a very dangerous case of postponement. And our Lord Jesus knew that it would lead to something far worse. Because the man that made the request was looking back fondly on the things that he would have to forsake. He was really asking for one last fling before he became a Christian. And there are many people like that tonight, all over Brisbane, all over Australia. They are saying, "Lord, let me have one last fling." And they enter into the peril of postponement. And for many, that one last fling can mean a Christless eternity. I remember one night down at Millicent in South Australia, I remember four young people who came to a crusade meeting. And they sat there and they laughed and they sneered and they got up from the meeting, and one of the counselors said to them, "Well, what do you think of what the preacher said?" And they said, "It's a load of rubbish." That night they had every opportunity to respond to the gospel. The following night, on the way back to Millicent, they were killed in a head-on collision. And the four of them went into a Christless eternity. They asked for one last fling. And you see, that is what is meant in the scriptures, in the true exegesis of the word, when he said, when this man said, "Let me go back and bid farewell to the folks at home." Because the farewell party would have gone on for days, because that was the custom of the day. And do you know, the Lord never spoke more harshly than he did on this occasion. And you have to look at it in the Greek to understand how harsh it is. Because Jesus said with contempt in his voice, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And there are many people who have come so close to salvation during these days of crusading down the road here. And they have gone away turning their back on God. But thank God for those who came to Christ. There are many who cannot make up their minds, and so they begin to drift farther and farther away from God. Oh yes, he was a good speaker. He was a very fine evangelist. He was dynamic. He was this and he was that. But I know Bill. I've known him for years. And I love him in the Lord. And I cried with him and wept with him in prayer after Monday night. And he and I know, and I know as an evangelist who's been on the road for a long time, we're not here to be popular. We're not here for people to tell us that we're good preachers. We're not here for that purpose. We're here for the sole purpose of fronting people with the claims of Jesus Christ in order that they will not postpone the commitment, but they will come to Christ and acknowledge him as their Lord. And you know, when they turn away, they drift and their hearts get hardened. And it's something like what astronomers tell us about the heavenly bodies that are out there in that sky that you look up tonight. And we're told their orbits draw them so near to each other at times that they almost seem to touch. And then they begin to turn away. And every hour and every day and every year and every century finds them farther and farther apart. You know, something like that happens to people who adopt the policy of postponement. They are so close to Christ that they can almost touch Him. And right at this moment, some of you are so close that you can almost touch the Lord. But if you turn away from Him tonight, then you will move farther and farther and farther away from Him. You know, there's some great stories told in a lot of books. But I love this story that's told by a man, the late Dr. Clarence McCartney. He tells about two boys who grew up in France. They were born into a very godly home. And their names were John and Charles. And John, from his earliest days, was a very studious type, a very thoughtful type. And he went on to write one of the world's greatest books, known as the Institute of the Christian Religion. And he died in Geneva in 1564, and he bequeathed to the world the greatest principles of democracy and religious freedom. The other brother, Charles, pursued the things of the world and lived a life for the world that was worthless and infamous. There's a difference between these two men. They both had the same heredity. They both had the same environment, the same home, the same early influences. The difference is explained in the choice that they made. And when you and I are confronted with the same choice, we can decide, as John did, to follow the Lord, or we can decide, as Charles did, to follow the world. You see, postponement is not a third alternative by which you can escape the problems of making your choice. Until you say yes to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are saying no. And our Lord made it very plain. Anyone who is not for Him is against Him. And with our Lord Jesus Christ, the answer is always yes or no. Think of the rich young ruler who came to Him. Think of that young man with all of the potential that he had. He was religious, but he wasn't Christian. And he wanted to know how to become a Christian. And he said to the Lord, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord told him. And that young man walked away from the Lord because for him that moment was the peril of postponement. He didn't want to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He didn't want to follow the Lord. He didn't want to give up his wealth, and he didn't want to give up his prestige as a young man. And you know, as I've looked at that passage of Scripture many times, I've often thought that the disciples probably could have said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, that young man's got potential. Let's run after him. Let's give him another chance." But Jesus didn't run after him. Jesus said, "Let him go." He made the choice. How long have you been keeping God waiting? He's come to you time and time again and offered you eternal salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's come to you time and time and time again. He's called you to service in the local church, and indeed He has called you to be totally committed to Him, and you have postponed that call from God so many times. You know, as I look at the Bible, there'll come a time when that postponement will be final, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. And so tonight, we've talked about the peril of postponement. Felix had the greatest gospel preacher that ever the world has known outside of Jesus Christ in his presence, and that person was the Apostle Paul. And Paul communicated the gospel effectively. Felix suffered the peril of postponement, and tonight Felix is in hell. But you don't have to postpone God tonight. The Holy Spirit is convicting you right now of the gospel message. And you know in your own heart that this very night you're not going to make that postponement anymore. You're going to get up when we sing the invitation hymn, and you're going to come forward publicly, and you're going to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me and accept me as a sinner. And I'll accept and receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Tonight I know in my heart that I have made that postponement so many times. But Lord, tonight I'm not going to make it anymore. I'm going to come. There are some of you that God has called and said, you have the ability. I can equip you to teach, to preach. And I can equip you and I can send you out into a needy world with my gospel. But you have been postponing my call. I remember the time when I was called to the ministry. Let me tell you just briefly how it happened. I was through a Christian man that was dying with leukemia in a hospital. And I was outside on the veranda. And he was a Christian man dying, and God spoke to my heart at 2 o'clock Good Friday morning, 1961. I went home, and I went to a crusade that was called This is the Answer Crusade not long after. And it was a Saturday night. And I've been sort of postponing it a little bit, and I've been saying, well, Lord, I've got to think about it. I've got to really weigh up everything. I've got a nice home. And I heard that preacher that night. He preached on the subject, God Wants a Man. And he came to the invitation. And that night, God broke me as if he got a hold of a big hammer and he just got hold of a piece of rock and he just kept hitting that rock until he smashed that rock into all little tiny pieces. And when he got all those little tiny pieces, he said to me, I've got you now completely broken. And that night I said, Lord, I said, whatever you want me to do. I said, Lord, I'm willing. I didn't know that night what it was going to involve. I had to learn to read and write. I had to be given an education. I didn't have an education. I didn't know that it was going to be 6 long years, Bible college, theological college. I didn't know I had to learn Greek, and I didn't know that I had to wrestle with Hebrew. I didn't know I had to learn theology. I didn't know that I had to learn false cults and different religions. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that I had to learn about the psychological behavior of mankind. And when I did my study in anthropology, I didn't know that I had to study the science of man. But that night, because God's hammer smashed me to pieces in order that he could put me back together, I became what he wants me to be. And then in 1961, I'm so glad that I didn't postpone the call when he said, I want you to be my servant. I'll equip you and I'll prepare you. God is calling you tonight, calling you right now. Are you willing to come? Say, Lord, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to be yours. And the Spirit of God is calling you to and saying, I want you to be totally committed. I want to use you. You're a Christian, but you're not obedient in many areas. Why, you're not even obedient in a matter of believer's baptism. You're not following what I teach. You're not true to the Word. You don't really belong to the local fellowship. But I see potential. And I can see that I can make a preacher out of you. And I can see that I can make a missionary out of you. But I can't do a thing with you whilst you're continually postponing my call. I'm going to suggest tonight that you don't postpone the call of God any longer. During the singing of the invitation hymn, just slip out into the aisle and say, Lord, Lord, like many of us have, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I want to be born again. Lord, that's it. That's what I want. If you're a saved person and you've been disobedient, Lord, I want to be true to you. I want to follow your word. I really want to be baptized by immersion. I really want to do what you teach in the Bible.